Tuesday, September 24th. I'm Ani Ukar. Two people in Colton are facing charges in the death of a two-year-old boy who was attacked by a group of pit bulls. The boy was killed when he wandered into his backyard where there were 7 to 10 pit bulls. His uncle and grandmother are being charged with child negligence. As Sarah Zahedi reports, the attack has led many to question the safety of pit bulls as household pets.
There have been several recent pit bull attacks in the past few months that have caused serious injury or death among small children. Many people say they worry that dogs are dangerous.
They've always just seemed like the dogs that want to fight.
They literally smell fear. Dogs smell fear.
They seem really vicious, and I think their nature is one where they're just really aggressive.
And as much as I want to believe that pit bulls or Rottweilers or any dog can be a good dog, whenever I'm walking down the street and I see, you know, especially some 5 foot nothing, 108 pound girl walking a pit bull, I always cross the street and walk on the other side.
Still, others, like pit bull owner James White, believe the dogs can be tame.
My dog's really friendly and it's really peaceful.
But even a pit bull lover like White admits the dogs can be violent.
It's all based on the owner and the way it was raised, so to speak, and its living conditions.
Dog attacks happen more often in the summer season, says emergency pediatrician Yvette Lisa Curl. That's when more children play outside.
There are certain breeds that have higher propensity to be a little bit more temperamental with children, but any dog of any breed has the potential to bite.
Curl has seen several patients who have experienced dog bites, and in her experience, it's not just pit bulls who pose a danger.
When you're dealing with a new dog or an unfamiliar dog, number one, you should never really leave an infant or young child alone with a dog, especially if it's unfamiliar or if the child is actually very young, because they tend to play a little bit more rough with animals than actually older children do.
Curl says smaller children in particular are at risk to be attacked by dogs.
Children should really not be approaching any unfamiliar dog because they don't know what the temperament is like.
For this reason, Curl recommends that people, especially children, exercise caution when coming into contact with dogs. Sarah Zahedi, Annenberg Radio News.
Closing arguments were delivered today in the Michael Jackson wrongful death trial. The pop icon's family is suing Jackson's entertainment firm AEG Live for negligence. The family is asking the jury to award them more than $1 billion in damages. Family attorney Brian Panish told the jury that AEG was at fault because it hired Dr. Conrad Murray, who administered a fatal dose of propofol to the singer. Murray was convicted of involuntary manslaughter in late 2011. AEG's lawyer will deliver his closing argument tomorrow. The case is expected to go to the jury on Thursday. Kenya's president announced this morning that terrorists behind the bloody Nairobi mall attack have been defeated. At least 61 civilians and 6 security officers were killed in the 4-day siege at the mall. 170 people were injured. Kenyan officers say all hostages from the Westgate shopping mall are now free and that the Kenyan military has gained control over the al-Shabaab militants.
Now, we are now joined by research professor of political science at UCLA, Edmund J. Keller. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
Now, what can you tell us about this Somalia-based al-Shabaab terror group?
Well, you know, al-Shabaab is a group that emerged in the collapsed state of Somalia around 2006. And it has steadily grown over the years. And it has been opposed to outside intervention in Somalia's affairs. And also has been opposed to the interim governments. And more recently, Kenya has been taking an active role, pursuing al-Shabaab inside of Somalia. And it was just a matter of time before this group, which now has, it didn't begin as being connected with al-Qaeda, but now it is connected with al-Qaeda. And it's gotten stronger. It's found new sources of weaponry and It is creating a great deal of regional instability in Northeast Africa or East Africa.
Then why exactly Nairobi?
Nairobi is the commercial center of East Africa at this point. There's some emerging economies that are doing pretty well.
Do you think there was any political reason they chose a mall rather than, let's say, a government building?
Oh, yeah. Well, you have to understand how these terrorist organizations operate. They would rather not take on a formidable military foe like the Kenyan armed forces in a very direct way. And in another respect, what they want to do is they want to strike soft targets, places where the regime that they want to fight would not be expecting them.
And what major political outcome do you think this group is looking for?
Well, what they want, it depends. It's not a unified group, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You've got one segment of the group which wants to displace the government, the interim government of Somalia, and establish Somalia on the basis of what they consider to be Somali principles and, you know, establish an independent government that is not being controlled remotely by some outside force like the United States. On the other hand, there are those who want to make an independent Somalia into an Islamic state. And there's a tension within the group between those two different objectives. But the political outcome would be a more stable Somali state, one which was secularly based or one which was religiously based. But independent, stable Somalia is basically what everybody's striving for.
Thank you for being with us, Professor.
You are very welcome.
Shifting winds and steep terrain are making the job of fighting the Azusa wildfire more difficult. The wildfire has burned more than 250 acres of brush in the San Gabriel Mountains and is 30% contained. Evacuation advisories for the area were lifted early this morning, and low wind conditions today are giving firefighters a bit of a break. The winds are expected to pick up again this evening. Later on Edinburgh Radio News, this food is not just for broke college students anymore. A trip to LA's Ramen Festival. Residential rents in Southern California are expected to go up over the next 2 years. As Madeline Ewells reports, that's the conclusion of a study released today by USC's Lusk Center for Real Estate.
Apartment rents in Los Angeles County climbed to an average of $1,435 a month in the second quarter, according to the USC Kasdan Multifamily Forecast. The study was released at the USC Lusk Center for Real Estate Conference today in downtown LA. Vincent Renna, a research associate with USC's Lusk Center, sheds light on the apartment boom.
Today, we presented the Kasdan Real Estate Forecast, where we basically give an overview of the multifamily rental market in Southern California. And by that, we mean Orange County, San Diego County, Los Angeles County, and the Inland Empire, which includes Riverside and San Bernardino County.
Apartments are in short supply, and developers can't keep up with the high demand.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, what we've been observing is that, you know, last year there were a lot of units built in Los Angeles. Specifically, I believe there was over 3,100 units built in Los Angeles County. But what's interesting, at the same time, over 5,800 units were absorbed by the market.
The study showed that LA rents are slightly lower than averages in Orange County, yet more than San Diego County and Inland Empire rent rates. The highest average rent in LA was $2,328 in Santa Monica. Madeline Uhls, Annenberg Radio News.
Property taxes make up a third of the city of Los Angeles's revenue, and some people say a 30-year-old loophole has allowed corporations to pay less property taxes than they should. Emmanuel Martinez explains.
Sunny Martinez, a full-time student and single parent, feels cheated.
And the average time it takes for a community college student to get out of ELAC is 4 to 5 years. And it's not because they're not intelligent or because they're not motivated.
Martinez is in his third year at East Los Angeles Community College, and some of the classes he needs are full, or they are not offered because of budget cuts.
There's a reason why there's budget cuts every semester at a community college.
He says, One of those reasons is a loophole in the state law pertaining to property taxes. You've probably heard of Proposition 13. It was passed by California voters in 1978 as part of the taxpayer revolt. Under Prop 13, property taxes only go up when the home is sold. That means the longer someone stays in their home, the less property taxes they pay, and therefore, the less money the state collects. The same is true for corporations, but they've found a way around having the taxes go up when property is sold. If corporations buy property but don't assume more than 50% ownership, there is no tax hike.
So thus, they don't have to change ownership. If they don't have to change ownership, they don't have to reassess the property value.
And the reason corporations wouldn't want a change of ownership?
So they basically pay the property value of decades ago.
But while corporations gain, everyone else loses. According to David Green, a children's social worker for the County of Los Angeles and current secretary for SEIU Local 21,
the unfortunate consequence of that is $10 million less for community, for the County of Los Angeles, and property tax revenue, which we need, quite frankly.
Green says $10 million is how much Brookfield office properties will save under the tax loophole. He and Martinez were outside Brookfield's office in downtown Los Angeles today. Brookfield is in the process of purchasing four buildings in downtown Los Angeles: the Wells Fargo, the gas company, KPMG, and 77 Towers. Brookfield says it would not comment because they don't own the buildings yet. But Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association says Prop 13 isn't the problem. It's the enforcement of change of ownership provisions. Emmanuel Martinez, Annenberg Radio News.
The Radar LA Festival begins today. It's a foray into the future of theater taking place all over Los Angeles until October 6th. Angie Fiedler Sutton brings us more.
With 18 productions across 10 different venues, the Radar LA Festival looks to showcase multidisciplinary productions in the performing arts. So says Mark Murphy, one of the festival's co-directors and executive director of Red Cat.
Artists who are really influential in the evolution of theater are working across disciplines, combining dance and theater, visual forms and theater, and so that is a partial theme of our programming.
Running from September 24th to October 1st, the festival is not only about exploring multiple disciplines, but also about exploring downtown LA and the cultural influences of the city. Many of the works are world premieres, such as David Rousseff's Stardust. There are also a large contingent of works from artists from Latin America and the Pacific Rim, such as Lola Arias's The Year I Was Born. Radar LA is also using this opportunity to open many historic theaters in the downtown area, including the Tower Theater, the first film house wired for talking pictures. Organized by Red Cat and the Cal Arts in partnership with Center Theater Group, the festival was first launched last year. Murphy says the plans for this year are to be bigger and bolder. The goals of Radar LA are simple: to expose audiences to contemporary theater that is beyond the traditional definition.
So I'm really interested in learning from artists, directors, writers, choreographers who are redefining the boundaries or erasing the boundaries and redefining the form. I'm excited to have my eyes opened and other people's eyes open to the possibilities of theater that goes beyond just a straightforward storytelling to include everything from dance or puppetry, brilliant stagecraft, chanting, and other musical forms to reflect our world through an artist's prism that can help us see things in a very different light, and especially when the artists are coming from different cultures and viewing some of the same universal issues from a different perspective.
Admission starts at $15 with a multi-event pass, while single tickets for most events will be $25. A complete listing of productions is available on the Radar LA website, which is part of the Red Cat's website, redcat.org. For more coverage of the Radar LA Festival, visit Neon Tommy's website and look for the tag Radar LA. This is Angie Fiedler Sutton, Annenberg Radio News.
Fall is officially here now. Victor Figueroa reports on some locals who celebrated the arrival of the season in an unusual way.
Some Angelenos were ringing in the new season in a very literal way. In a church-like building in Eagle Rock, Los Angeles, two women used large gongs and Tibetan singing bowls. The event is called a sound bath. During the sound bath, one of the women, Mary Frances Spencer, surrounded herself with large hollow bowls that give out a long humming sound when hit in a particular way. And Jamie Ford walked from gong to gong, lightly hitting each giant metallic plate in harmony with Spencer's gongs. It's meant to spiritually heal you. Before the performance, people walked into the center with their mats, pillows, and blankets and lied down on the wooden floor to ready themselves for some sound healing. So what exactly are you supposed to get from the experience? Spencer explained.
And then they just receive the frequencies and vibrations. And you can set intentions, you can set healing intentions. The frequencies and vibrations go throughout your entire body. And usually you feel pretty good at the end.
But what exactly is sound healing? Gong player Jamie Ford went further into depth.
You can think of how music affects you. You might listen to one song to get more energized, another song to get more peaceful. Maybe you want to hear another song when you're feeling angry. And so sound healing works to use frequencies that are healing for the body to bring us back into harmony.
Throughout the performance, people fell asleep under their cozy blankets. Luckily, the sounds from the gongs and singing bowls blocked out their snoring. This is the fifth year that Ford and Spencer have performed for the autumn equinox. The duo does performance for each change of season, so watch out for them at the winter solstice. Victor Figueroa, Annenberg Radio News.
This month saw a massive convergence of noodle slurpers in Torrance. The first ever ramen festival in LA was held a few weeks ago. People waited as long as 4 hours to eat among the world's most inventive ramen chefs. Graham Clark has more.
My name's Irish TC. This is my first time actually having ramen that wasn't top ramen, the top ramen that every college student eats. I like it.
My name is Hideo Furusawa. Japanese
very famous ramen. Hideo is a hype man for a booth at the Ochoco Ramen Festival, drawing in customers with his loud vocalizations. Hype is a good word to describe the Ochoco Ramen Festival. It drew thousands of people over 2 days who waited hours in line for a chance just to taste some noodles.
Stephen Wang waiting for Kitakata Ramen Banai. We've been waiting in line for this one particular ramen for 2 hours. It's from Japan. Hopefully it's worth it.
Tetsuo, Motoda Tetsuo desu. I'm originally from Tokyo, and I just missed the taste of ramen from Tokyo. This is I hear this is the first time in Los Angeles for the ramen festival, so we're looking forward to it.
I'm Shigetoshi Nakamura from Ramen Lab New York. I'm doing ramen school to educate people. You know, that everybody brought ramen culture from Japan. Japanese has a very traditional way to, you know, that they have some kind of rule. Japanese doing always like a tonkotsu broth with tare or like a torigara. Here it's break like a sushi of the California roll. For U.S. Ramen world is more like a free. Some people are doing like dipping noodle or like using ram broth. Also doing like, you know, the ramen burger is so free. You know, that everybody very accepted. Ramen burger is like collaborate of the hamburger and ramen is a kind of soul food. Ramen is a Japanese soul food, and hamburger is a kind of American, like a world soul food. So that's combined together in Japan, not so popular.
Mike Stisky, we're in Torrance, California, eating the delicious burger. It's this ramen burger has so much flavor. It's amazing.
So you have the crisp from the grill on the ramen noodles, you still get that soft, chewy texture, and you got that pork belly, it's just delicious. It's just pretty much crispy on the outside, but it's got that nice pork belly taste on the inside. You still got that, it looks like mayo in there, and you got just delicious mixture of just veggies in there. Yeah, it looks like bamboo shoot, maybe a little bit of mushroom too. It looks definitely like a shiitake mushroom. No, it's bamboo shoot, and when you take a bite, it's just amazing. Christmas in your mouth. Or if you don't celebrate Christmas, imagine having your birthday and just getting whatever you want. times 10. My name's Andrew Palmer. When we got here, I was like, what is this? This is a line for like a movie or something like that? It's so long, but wait here for about an hour or so, worth it. Definitely worth it.
From Torrance, I'm Graham Clark with Annenberg Radio News.
A family is raising support for an immigrant who has been detained by the Immigration and Customs Enforcement for 5 months. Karen Lynn went to downtown LA today to talk to the family.
Justice for Vermont! Justice for Vermont!
About 20 people gathered under the Immigration and Customs Enforcement office in downtown LA. They were calling for an immediate release of Gurmukh Singh, an immigrant who has been detained for nearly half a year. 5 months ago, Singh and his family went for a scheduled immigration interview. Two ICE officers approached him and took him into custody. It all happened right in front of his two young daughters.
My husband standing in the side, then they take him, then he tell them, can I see my kids, then hug them. They denied, they said, no, you can't. Then take my husband in the custody.
Singh's wife, Bawanda Kaur, held back tears as she talked about her husband.
Now it's 5 months. He's still in the custody. They don't release him. I don't know why, but he not do anything wrong. He's working. He take care of the family, supporting his family. He paying the taxes. I want to he come home.
Singh is a Sikh. He fled his native India 15 years ago because of anti-Sikh sentiment. He was seeking religious asylum in the United States. His family says the attorney he hired did not accurately deliver Singh's request to the judge, and the lawyer failed to notify Singh to appear in court. Singh and his family knew none of this until they went for that immigration interview. Singh's 14-year-old daughter, Manpreet Saini, desperately wants her father to come back.
We're torn apart, we're broken. We didn't know what our future was going to be like. Thinking about that every night, crying to myself to sleep, it really hurts your soul, never knowing what's going to happen, living in fear that maybe one day my father will be deported and who knows when we'll ever meet again.
The Immigration and Customs Enforcement Office did not respond to our request for comment. The organization Asian Americans Advancing Justice is helping the Singh family with their case. After today's news conference, Policy Director Rebecca Han and the family members went to talk to immigration officials.
We just met with the acting chief counsel for ICE to discuss Mr. Singh's case. It is in the San Francisco office, but the acting chief counsel, Lucia Fiorentino, said that she would also review the documents, so we're going to follow up with her.
The family and the community members are waiting for a reply, and they hope Singh can be released within 24 hours. Caroline Annenberg, Radio News.
As we begin our descent into sweater weather, expect cooling temperatures hitting a low of 62 degrees tonight, followed by mid to low 70s coming in tomorrow and Thursday. Officials and community leaders installed an early piece of LA history near the San Gabriel Mission today. A 20-foot, 15-ton mill race was found during construction on a railroad in the San Gabriel Valley. It was built in 1823 to bring water into Los Angeles from the surrounding communities. Paul Huber from the Alameda Corridor East Construction Authority says placing the mill near the mission has its own symbolism.
The San Gabriel Mission was the first European settlement here in the greater Los Angeles region. And in fact, that mission and the founding of the surrounding community predates the establishment of the city of Los Angeles, the community of Los Angeles, by approximately a decade.
Brazilian blowout hair care company is under fire for allegedly using formaldehyde in its products. Although the procedure sounds risky, its popularity is still growing. Reporter Eamon Oyi-Bokay has the story.
Getting a high-end hair treatment like a Brazilian blowout may work well on frizzy hair by giving it a straight, sleeker look. But according to the Food and Drug Administration, it could cost you more than money. Studies show that many of the products contain over 8% of formaldehyde, which has been shown to cause cancer. Hairstylist at West Hollywood's L&R Salon, Rosa Gill, says the popular product works well.
There's so many things out there that do give you, you know, you have health problems with and issues as far as hair products and chemicals you use in your hair. But as far as the formaldehyde, if you use it and you do it in the right process, you'll be fine.
Gill Salon does at least 10 Brazilian blowouts per day. Because of demand, they built a special styling room just for blowouts.
We have a room upstairs, so we don't have any issues with that. It actually has a ventilation. It works like a blow dryer. We have air coming in from the outside in, and then the air in the inside, we have another fan on top of the roof that takes it out.
Gil says customers still want blowouts and other hair products do not compare.
We have tried other ones as well, but we always end up going back to the Brazilian blowout brand just because we actually do get better results.
Formaldehyde is not illegal to use in cosmetic products, so clients can still get blowouts. Amen Oyeboke, Annenberg Radio News.
Now we check in with Alec Lesnick to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Hey guys, coming up on ATVN, a new bike ordinance was signed in a law today, so let's find out what this means for bike safety in L.A. Also, UCLA hosted their fifth annual Volunteer Day today, and we have more on how students work together to give back to their community. And finally, one charter high school community is rallying for its future. And so let's hear what they have to say about their fight to continue on.
We'll be looking forward to that. Thank you, Alec. It's a bad week to take an evening drive through Hollywood. Tonight, part of Hollywood Boulevard will be closed off for music star Justin Timberlake. He's scheduled to appear on the TV program Jimmy Kimmel Live and will perform on an outdoor stage near the Dolby Theater afterward. Last night, Paul McCartney appeared on Kimmel's show and then performed on the outdoor stage for a crowd of thousands. That's it for this Tuesday. We had help today from ATVN Martha Daniels and Asala Sanipour. Graham Clark Stuckling produces the arts and culture segment, and Denise Guerra is the newscast producer. Our executive producer is Kate Davis. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Anna Yukar. Thank you.